You, my friend, are listening to The Happy Hearthstone. This episode is brought to you by listeners just like you. If you enjoy this show and look forward to it every week, you need to know that it is only possible through the support of awesome patrons like Brett R., Major Death, Navalis, David M., Wild Vladstone, Zerotio, Boticus, Wicked Good, Mr. Jones, Trevor Y., Not Rob, and Avantes. You too can join this awesome team and help to support the show and get some great perks in return. Go to patreon.com/thehappyhearthstone for more information. Hello and welcome to episode 124 of The Happy Hearthstone, the longest running Hearthstone podcast in the history of space and time and cards. I'm your host, Andrew Brown. Boy, guys, did we have a good week? How was your week? My week was pretty good. And it's about to get a whole lot better because I get to spend some time hanging out with you and talking about Hearthstone. I'll be honest with you guys, I actually messed up my calendario a little bit. So even though I was on track to have someone from the community this week, my calendar actually got off during the review season. So this past review portion, what we did was we had Steve on for two consecutive weeks for the different episodes, and I really liked that, but it kind of messed with the groove of things with having people from the community on. So I've had to make my way back to the groove of having one solo cast, one person from the community every other week, and so looks like it's just you and me hanging out one more time. So maybe we're in the sauna this time. You know, it's like we had a good workout on the ladder and now we need to let our pores open up and just enjoy the time, and we'll chit-chat and talk about all the happenings from the day and the week. I hope it's been a good week for you. For me, I'm really happy for a couple reasons. One is that many of you saw on Twitter that my daughter got sick, and that is always tough in your family, especially when you got a young kiddo. She's about to turn two this summer, actually this month, holy cow. But she was really sicker than she's been in a very long time earlier this week, but she has definitely cut through it. Took her to the doctor, got some antibiotics, and she's feeling way better. So it's just better seeing herself be herself, you know what I'm saying? So that's been great. The other reason why I'm happy, though, is that my wife and I got it after she got it, and now we're kind of at the tail end of that. So I'm sure you can't hear it in my voice now, but you may have heard it a day or two ago if I had been recording then. So I'm just really thankful that sickness is leaving our house. It's on its way out the door, and we're good to go. Also excited because my wife and I have been working on a big project trying to get kind of an Airbnb going for a house. We've got some extra space and thought that, hey, this would be a great chance to be able to give people a place to stay and hopefully provide a little side project income for her and I. So that'll be really exciting to get off the ground. If you want deets and you're looking to come to the Colorado area, I know a guy who could hook you up. That guy's me. But we've been putting a lot of work into that, and we're finally almost there. TM, about to be announced. I think it should be in the next week or two that we actually launch it. So we're very, very close. Closer than we've ever been. But forget about that. We've actually got some really exciting stuff for this episode to talk about. A little bit of news, some great UHL stuff. And then for the main topic today, I want to tell you how to get what you want. That, Andrew, that sounds fantastic. Can we talk about that now? No, we can't talk about that right now. But we are going to talk about how to get what you want out of the game. And especially if you felt stuck with some of the mindset things that we've talked about, I want to give you some very practical tips for how to overcome that. And for those of you who know that there's something holding you back mentally, but also for those of you who may not know, really, what's in the way? I've got some tips for you to kind of see some things there too. So I'm really excited about this show because we've got more to talk about Hearthstone-wise than typical, and it should be a really great time. So let's go ahead and jump into the news. Though this may not be the news that you necessarily hope for, like news about a new expansion or anything like that, Blizzard did release some really cool resources that actually could help you in some different ways. So one of the things they came out with was a whole blog post about a more in-depth look in how Arena works. Many of you may know that they did a total makeover for Arena in the department of how they offer you cards when you're drafting the cards for your deck. And this blog post went a bit more in depth into some of the concepts and how they offer those things up, as well as some changes that are coming. They're marginal to the casual player, but if you play a lot of Arena, or this is maybe your specialty, or you're looking to play more of it, you're going to want to know some of the stuff that they go into in this blog post. So they talk about the term of buckets, and how they define a bucket is the set of three cards that you're delivered, and you get to pick one of those cards to be in your Arena draft. So That's the term buckets that they use. One bucket is a set of three cards. So you get 30 buckets from which you get to choose a card from each of those buckets as you go through. So they said that they have divided the power level of cards into about seven different sets. And so one of the big things that they said that they're going to do is buff up how many different divisions there are. So now instead of seven, they're going to be 13. They're going to have six more. So 13 different divisions of non-legendary cards. Because, of course, whenever you get a legendary pick, it's always three different legendary cards that are kind of similar in power level. And then they're also adding two new divisions for legendary cards, so it'll be a total of five of those. So we're talking 18 different divisions of power level that your buckets could be coming from. So this means that the cards are even going to be even closer in the power that you can expect, so even more difficult decisions, which is great, because that makes the process really interesting of, should I choose this one hoping that I get something later, or this one could provide potential here? I'm not the Arena expert by any stretch, and I honestly haven't even played it much since they made these big changes, but I think that reading through this honestly gets me a little bit more excited about going in there and trying it out again and seeing how things go. It's certainly the best way of increasing your collection, especially if you are a free-to-play or a very little-pay player, because if you can spin off infinite arenas, if you can get seven wins every time that you do the arena, you're going to make back your coinage and your boosters and stuff like that. Are they still called booster packs? I may have thrown back in a moment to the Pokemon TCG days of my youth real fast. There's even more in this. They go into the card weight of how likely a card is to come up, micro adjustments, and how they're actually going to be inserting buckets in between buckets, which was honestly a little confusing to me. But I'm excited. They said all this is going to be coming in the next patch, and we don't know exactly when that's going to be, but I'm really excited to see what this is. I love how much love they're giving to Arena. It seems like they have just been making huge strides over the past year, especially, to really make Arena even more robust than it's been ever in the past. So hopefully they'll do some Arena incentive events to kind of get us back in there too. I would think it makes sense to kind of help people who maybe haven't done it in a while, like myself, get back in and find out, wow, this is way better than it's ever been. So hopefully we'll see something like that, but I am just speculating upon speculation for you on that one. And then another blog post that they came out with was all about the collection manager, and there was literally nothing new in this, at least to my eyes. But they did this as a way of reminding people, and especially for newer players, letting them know that there are a lot of different ways that you can sort through your collection. And so most of these you'll probably know. So you can search by the attack level of cards. If you want to see every card that has a 4 attack, you can just type into the search bar in your collection, attack, colon, and then the number 4, attack, colon, 4. And it'll show you everything that you have that has an attack of 4. Or you could also click the crafting button and see everything that you don't have. There were a few that actually I had forgotten about that were really interesting. One, on that note, you can search for the word missing, and then if you click the crafting button, it'll only show you cards that you don't own in your collection. So if you're trying to figure out, like, what do I have left in the Witchwood that I'm still buying packs from? Or, you know, there's some sale on Knights of the Frozen Throne packs. There isn't, but maybe at some point there is. And you're like, hey, I need to know which of these cards I don't have yet. You can do that just by searching for missing. You can search for extra, golden, new, of course, is something that I'll do quite often. And there's a whole lot more on here. So I've linked to this blog post and the arena one I just mentioned in the show notes at thehappyhearthstone.com, so you can go check those out. And I hope that we see more from Blizzard, especially during these times when they really shouldn't be telling us anything brand spanking new about the game itself, because we've still got a couple more months until we should be seeing an expansion, although I bet we'll probably be seeing something before the end of the month about it, so we'll see. But it's cool to kind of get reminders and refreshers and know that they're continuing to fine-tune the process of game modes and stuff like that so that the game keeps on improving. So let's talk a little bit about the UHL stuff. So this week I had my match against Illyri, and oh my goodness, my hands were literally shaking at the end of our match. It was crazy. If you weren't able to watch it, I have to highly recommend that you do, because it was a grueling match. I was able to take the first two games, and Illyri took the next two. I could not let her have the reverse sweep, so I was thankful to be able to take that last game and to take the win. So this has been a really competitive season, and I've been really thankful. It's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of friends. Illyri is from the Innkeeper podcast. If you're unfamiliar with that, you definitely should go check her out and the whole team over there. Avanti's from Hero Power is a part of that crew as well. So they came out with great content, and she was a fierce competitor. So this week is actually the final week in the standard regulation season, I guess. And so Rod Johnston from Tier 5 is the last person that I've got on my radar. I'm coming for you, Rod. And we have got a very spicy set of rules going on. So you've probably seen some people who have done some crazy stuff with their rules. If you've caught up with any of them, there's been stuff like, hey, let's do only odd decks, or require 5 legendary cards in every deck that we bring. Rod and I wanted to go even more creative and obscure than that. So what we're going to do is we are going to create the decks that the other will be playing with. So we'll use the borrow decks function so that they can, so that Rod will use the decks that I create for him to play, and vice versa, he'll create decks for me to play. And what we're going to do is we're going to create three decks that tell a story or are characteristic of the other person. So this is, I can't tell you what I'm thinking because I don't want to give it away, but I can tell you if there was anybody to do this competition with me and bring creativity like I'm going to bring it, it's Rod. So we are adding the caveat that they need to be somewhat competitive or at least playable, like having a win condition or something like that. So these can't be just obscure for obscure sake. And truly, each deck needs to be characteristic of the other person in some way. So I've already got some ideas that I'm really excited about. It should be fun. As I'm recording, I don't know for sure when we'll be playing, but I'll be sure to let you guys know, as always, over on Twitter at AndrewIsLiving and whatnot. And I know I typically don't talk about like tournaments and competitive Hearthstone, but this weekend was a special one for me because it was DreamHack Austin. And unfortunately, I wasn't able to make it this year, but I can't help but get the fuzzies for my friends who were there, people like Boticus, Run He Said, Mr. Jones, Clark Hellscream, and I know there were a lot of professionals who were playing too, but such an incredible event that DreamHack puts on, and I was super jealous of those of you who were able to make it there. I was rooting you guys on and watching the rounds on the Smash GG browser like crazy, so even though I couldn't watch you on Twitch necessarily, I was still watching how many games you were winning, the decks you were bringing, and all that kind of stuff, and the fierce competitors a lot of you guys came up against too. Holy cow, there were a lot of really well-fought matches, whether you won or lost. So just wanted to say a big shout out to you four who did a great job out there. And also, I just get nostalgic when it happens. I have to just shout out my friends from DreamHack Denver. I'm so sad it's not happening again. But all of you guys I was able to meet, some friends I was able to make, and people I was able to meet up with at the event. People like my UHL competitor this week, Rod, his co-host Adam, Egghead, Ben Reddington from Dad Legend, Drunken Monk, Apex Predator, BMAC, I know I got to see there too. Just so many great people, and I think I'm always going to have those memories and fond fond feelings of our times together. So I'm really looking forward to Calm Before the Storm this year and being out there. So I'm actually really interested if any of you guys are going, because I'm really in that decision making where I've got to figure it out in the next week or two if it's going to happen. So I'm running the numbers, and I think financially I can make it happen, but I want to make sure there are enough of you guys that are going to be there. So if you are going to be there, would you mind sending me just a tweet or an email or something? Because if we're going to have plenty of listeners who are there, I would love to meet up with you guys and spend some time, but I also don't want to show up and just kind of hope that things go well. You know what I'm saying? So let me know. I actually put up a poll a few days ago on my Twitter, but you can just reach out and I will let that go into my decision-making process forthwith. That is about all I have to say about that. Let's take a quick sponsor break. You guys have borne with me. Is that the right past tense phrase? As I've let you know about the Humble Monthly every single week, basically, for the past month, because Destiny 2 was a big part of it. We're not going to talk about it because you weathered that well. What I am going to let you know is that the games that that you got, if you were a part of that, were Styx and Yooka-Laylee, which is such a fun game. It's made by the makers of Banjo-Kazooie and very much in that style. I haven't beaten it yet, but I actually got that game right when it came out because I was so excited about it, and I have an extra copy. So what I thought would be fun now, because of that, is to give away that copy of Yooka-Laylee to one of our awesome patrons this month. So if you're interested in that game, which you totally should be, this might be a little nudge to finally get you on the Patreon train. Because, you know, I say it all the time, and it really is true, Patreon is the best way to support this show. If you are listening to the show for the first time, I hope you enjoy it. I hope you come back next week. That's all I'm asking from you. But if this is one of your favorite shows, if you look forward to this every single week, I would really love it if you'd consider becoming a part of the team that makes this show possible. And the great thing is that I've been doing weekly episodes in sole part because so many of you have stepped up and been able to say, you know what, I can contribute and create some financial margins so that you can spend more time, Andrew, doing things like weekly episodes and exclusive content and stuff like that. So I know we've talked about it before that like a dollar a month doesn't seem like it makes much of an impact. But the truth is that when many people band together and say, you know what, I can throw a dollar in the tip jar, I can be on board, even at that small level, when many people do it, it starts to add up very quickly. So whether it's at that dollar a month level, and I, you know, love shouting out people every episode, or you'd like to get some of the exclusive content I'm coming out with every single week. A lot of that is video-based because I know you guys really like those. In fact, the past couple weeks, I spent 1 week going more in-depth talking about the priorities that we talked about a couple weeks ago and just more things that I do to kind of orient things in the right way. I spent half the time talking about that and half specifically about Hearthstone. So how do you apply that in your Hearthstone gameplay? And then this past week, I brought a deck. I started a new segment. I want to hear from you patrons what you guys thought, called Play This Deck. And it was a little bit of an off-the-wall deck that's really fun and actually works pretty well. So if you're interested in seeing content like that, $5 a month is all it takes. It's actually about one Starbucks drink a month if you can give that up to get some awesome content, four or five of these videos or blog posts every single month. I love creating them, and we've been slowly going towards these new goals, and we're actually only $15 away from creating a happy Hearthstone Discord. So if that's something you'd like to see, I would love to have this so that we can continue to connect one another, have places where we can share decks and ideas and encourage one another. I think that would really be the bonding force in that Discord. We're just 15 bucks away from doing that, so that'd be three people saying I'm in at the $5 level. Or some other variation. I could be here all night saying that. But seriously, it's the number one way to support the show, and I'm so thankful for those of you who are doing it already, and can't wait to see a few more of you jump on that train. Choo-choo! For now, let's take the train straight into our main topic. How to get what you want. It seems kind of like a clickbait title, isn't it? You'd think I'm like a marketer in my day job or something like that. I know we've talked about this a little bit before, but I think it's always good to come back to truth and remind ourselves of tough things that are true that can continue to motivate ourselves towards the men and the women that we want to become. And it's a quote from Thomas Jefferson, and he said, "If you want something you've never had, you must be willing to do something you've never done." It's so good, I gotta say it one more time. If you want something you've never had, you must be willing to do something you've never done. I think it's so good because oftentimes we want to see results in our lives of things that we haven't gotten to yet. Whether that's inner peace, maybe it's a financial situation, a relationship that we want to have, a job that we want to have. No matter what it is, tangible or intangible, if you want to have something that you haven't had, there is probably something to be done that you have not done yet. And that's not to say that everything in life is a formula by any stretch, but I think that oftentimes we have more dominion over creating the realities that we hope for or desire through our actions, through our core values and stuff like that. So when I was thinking about this concept in terms of Hearthstone, there are things probably that you want to achieve that you have not yet. And I will admit that most of what I'm going to talk about are for those of you who would like to do better on the ladder, maybe better specifically within the Hearthstone competition community or something like that. As much as I really work to make these relatable for anybody who has any goal, even if that's just simply to have fun in Hearthstone, this will be quite a bit more leaning towards the people who want to compete at a high level or get up, you know, 5 ranks above where they've ever been before, maybe finish higher in the legend ladder or what that is. Because if you want those things, you really have to be willing to get at the root of what's stopping you from getting there. And I was thinking about this in context of this weekend. I was out on our back porch with my daughter and our dog because we have this, you know, this thing that we'll go out there and I'll kick the tennis ball for our dog. And my daughter loves watching it because our dogs just go so fast. And so she'll just, "Dog, fast. Sadie, fast. Yeah." We'll do that for a while. It tires my dog out, which is good for her. And my daughter loves it, which is good for her. And so it's always a good time. But while we were out there, I was actually walking along. We have kind of this garden area that we haven't really done anything with. It has some flowers from the people who lived there previously. But I started looking through and I started noticing quite a few weeds. And when I say quite a few, that's really the understatement of the century. There were a lot of weeds around there. I started noticing where those weeds were and started getting closer and closer to them, looking at them and getting way down. If you've never pulled weeds, this is what you do. You get as close as you can to the ground level and you get a really good grip around it. You sometimes twist it a little bit and then you pull just straight up and yank it, right? Doesn't sound crazy, but the thing with weeds is that if you just clip them, they will grow right back. And a lot of times even further up than they had before, they'll become even more of a nuisance. But if you can get down at it and pull out the entire root, many weeds will come out very, very easily if you do it that way. And I don't know why, it's like cathartic for me to pull a weed's roots out because it like feels like I just completely shut this thing down. It's not destroying this garden anymore, you know? And so I started doing a few of those weeds and just kept going and going. And I probably spent like 15, 20 minutes out there just pulling weeds and throwing them back. I'll mow them up this week or something. And as I was doing that, I was amazed at how many there were and also how it wasn't really that much effort to get them out. I just needed to get serious about it. There are so many more times I've gone out into our backyard, kicked the ball for our dog with my daughter out there, not thought twice about the garden or the weeds or anything and just kept going, right? Those have continued to grow. They've continued to, you know, flourish and probably even cause some damage for the flowers that are there. Just because I didn't take the time to notice them and actually do something about it. And I think that when it comes to our mindsets that get in the way of us growing, both inside the game of Hearthstone and outside in our general lives, a lot of times we can treat it like weeds. We kind of just go through the motions. We don't even notice that they're there or that they're affecting what we do, what we think, and we just sort of deal with it. But if we would take time to slow down and really think about The mindset problems that literally all of us have to one degree or another, we could really get at the roots, pluck them out, and create space so that we can do things differently and probably do things better. So I wanted to talk about two different issues in mindset that I was thinking about. And you, as you're listening to these, I hope you'll treat it as a bit diagnostic. Sort of notice if you've ever had these thought patterns come up, specifically while you're playing Hearthstone. These can apply certainly outside of Hearthstone, but I want to talk about it in that context because I know that all of us have dealt with these things to one point or another, that we will continue to deal with them if left unchecked, and also that we, if you're working on it in the game of Hearthstone, you'll be able to work on it outside of the game of Hearthstone really easily too. So let's talk about these common issues in mindset. The first is really low-hanging fruit because it's something that, I mean, every single one of us have dealt with. And it's the I can't statements. So think about this. You know, maybe you're like me. This was actually me, oh my gosh, literally 2 days ago. Okay, so at least I had yesterday. I was working on these show notes. I was sitting down for probably the first time to really play some Hearthstone ladder for the month. You know, I'm excited. I hit Legend last month, want to do it again this month. I'm going to sit down. This meta is crazy, but it's going to be fun. I'm going to play something different. And I jump in with Odd Paladin. I thought, okay, that seems to be doing really good. It's pretty aggressive, so let's try it out, see how it goes. 3 wins in a row. Man, I am feeling good about myself and my abilities in this game, right? Then I lost a game, and that stung. I didn't plan on that. Well, that's okay. 3-1. That's still a crazy win rate, so I'll keep going. Lost the next one. Oh, that didn't feel good either. Lost the next one. Oh, boy. So I won 3 and lost 3. I, you know, gained nothing, lost nothing. It's okay. Lost the next one. Okay, so now I've got a losing win rate, and I'm not so sure about this deck anymore. And granted, I haven't played much either, so I thought, well, let me try and kind of make some adjustments based off what I'm seeing. After doing some research, I say, okay, Even Warlock, let's try that out. That seems to be a really good choice. So Even Warlock goes, and I lose 2 games in a row. That's not what I was hoping for. Do my research again based off of what I'm seeing. Taunt Druid is the answer. Because most of what I'm seeing is Even Warlock and Quest Warrior. And apparently that's a really good matchup for Taunt Druid. Nice. Okay, I got this. Lost 2 more games in a row. And they were to Quest Warrior and Even Warlock. So if you're doing your math, that's 7 games in a row that I lost. Not great, right? And it was really easy for me by the end of that, and probably actually much sooner than that, to say, I just can't win tonight, or I just can't draw right. And it was interesting, the second to last game, so the first game with Taunt Druid I played, I had created the deck list, and you know, I mentioned that Wicked Good is somewhat of my gym buddy. We encourage each other while we're playing on a ladder. And I'm playing this game and just losing brutally. And I've actually drawn through my entire deck. There are 2 cards left in my deck. And I have not seen a Naturalize yet. Which, if you're familiar with Taunt Druid, Hadronox plus Naturalize is a very important combo to have. And because I haven't had that yet, I haven't built up Hadronox. I'm way behind, you know, on the board and everything. And so I messaged Steven. I'm like, dude, Naturalize and Naturalize are literally the last cards in my deck. And, you know, he was like, whoa, that is crazy. I draw the next card, and it was a Witching Hour. Wait a minute, did I put Naturalize in this deck? I draw the 30th card, and it was something else. I think like a Swipe or something like that. So I go into my collection, I look at the deck list. Sure enough, it has 2 Naturalizes in it. I honestly still don't know to this day what happened in that game. I don't have the HS replay for it. I really wish I do, because I legitimately don't remember drawing those cards. But it can just tell you, like, the data shows at some point I drew those cards and I must have played them, or maybe I even had them in hand and just forgot or something. It's easy to look at that situation and say my mindset was affecting things. The fact that I had lost so many games and was starting to think I just can't draw the right cards was starting to affect my perception of reality, to the point I was convinced that those cards were the last 2 cards in my deck, when in reality, I just drew to just see them because I think I was going to lose the next turn and they weren't there. So something happened mentally that really affected my perception of what was real in that. And this is the ultimate problem with the I can't mentality is it puts you in a place where things that are not true are clouding what you see to actually be true. And I'm sure in past rage sessions that you have had or I have had, we can clearly look back on them like I'm telling this story and say, okay, something's off there. Like I know that I was emotionally charged in that moment, but I was believing things that weren't accurate. And ultimately, that is not going to set me up to play the best game of Hearthstone that I possibly can. And you know, there are some times where you say, I can't draw right because it is actually accurate. And you've had, you know, 3 games in a row where you can't draw Shudderwalk and you're playing Shudderwalk Shaman. You need to be able to draw that card most of the time to be able to win that game. But whether it's true or not, what it instigates is that you have zero influence over that situation. And here's most of the time, 99% of the time, this is the reality. You have something to bring to the table that you are not or have not brought to the table. And, you know, to put this in terms of like the people who are at DreamHack, if you're unfamiliar with that format, it's last hero standing. You bring 4 decks to that competition and you must use those 4 decks for every single round through all of the Swiss rounds. They do 9 rounds of Swiss and then the top 16 do a single elimination bracket. So you're talking Amnesiac and Zalae, by the way, congrats to Amnesiac for taking all of it. You think about those guys in the finals. They have to play the same decks that they brought at the very beginning. And one of those decks gets banned, and then it's a best of 5. Any competition in DreamHack, and I know this from experience, you may have made every single possible decision correctly in your mulligan, in which decks you chose to play first and second and all of that. But the thing you may have messed up is that you put some tech cards in deck lists that you really shouldn't have. Or maybe you brought a class that really wasn't, like, ended up underperforming to what you expected. There were decisions that you could have made before the tournament began in your deck selection, curation, and submission that now, unfortunately, you have to pay the price for. And you may have made all the best decisions you knew to make, but now you're realizing that those decisions are actually costing you. So here's my argument with this. Even if you take 100% ownership of the 1% that you have to influence the situation, things can change. And I know I'm speaking in broad brush here, but I promise you this applies to more situations than it does not. If you take charge of the little influence that you may have in any situation, like really take charge of it. Not a, well, you know, I just got overrun because this guy's, you know, playing some mean deck on the ladder. No. Were you in the best possible mindset? Did you just lose 7 games in a row and kept just submitting yourself to masochism? If there is anything that you could have done, maybe it's even that you just had a bad day and you should not be playing on the ladder right now, or you shouldn't be playing in a tournament you signed up for, don't play. Take ownership of the things that you can take ownership of, and then let go of the things that you cannot. There's this concept of 3 seconds that I learned about when I was actually going through some counseling. My counselor had me read this book, literally called 3 Seconds. It's by Dr. Les Parrott. And it's the big idea from that book is that we have about 3 seconds in our human psyche to be able to respond to decisions and determine what we're going to do. So 3 seconds is not a lot of time. And in Hearthstone, it's probably even less than that sometimes, especially if you're playing really fast, which, by the way, you can take ownership of and change. But I was thinking about that as I was preparing for this because these things can come up very subtly and very quickly sometimes as we're playing. And you may not even notice them because you've grown so used to your thought patterns. So I would really encourage you, if you don't already, and I know I talk about this often, but going to streamers and listening to their lines of thought. If you listen to some of the best streamers, they will talk you through what they're thinking, or go to some of the best coaches through Gamer Sensei or something like that. They will help you to think through things the way that they think through things. And when, you know, Hearthstone is a game of decision-making 100%, you need to learn to make better decisions, which a lot of times comes from being in a good mental state and then being able to learn and process from the mistakes you make, the mistakes you notice others make, and stuff like that. So my challenge to you this week, obviously, if you know that you struggle with this, it's pretty simple to look at in your situations. When you say, I can't, whatever, I can't win to save my life, I can't draw anything right, I can't find the right deck or anything. When those things pop up, think through, what do I have ownership of that would influence this situation at all? And if you say nothing, then just stop playing. Give yourself a breather. Go do some push-ups or go for a run. A lot of times that's actually really, really helpful. But do something to get yourself in a better mental state. And then when you come back to it, hopefully you'll see one or two things. Oh yeah, I was hungry and I needed to eat something, you know, or whatever the case may be. There's a million different things that could be contributing to it. Or if this is something that isn't a habitual thing in your life, notice the 3-second rule when you're playing games. In fact, if you're often like I am, you may play through games as fast as possible. Give yourself 3 seconds every single turn, maybe not turn one, but every other turn to even think through those things. I actually made a misplay on turn one, I realized right after in one of my UHL matches. I was playing Quest Warrior, and in my opening hand, I had the quest and I had a Town Crier, and I had no other taunts in hand. The absolute correct play is to play Town Crier so that you can start getting some chip damage in, especially since I didn't have a turn two play. I could just play the quest then, or I could even wait until later to play it when I actually had some taunts in hand. Very specific example, but even then, my turn one auto, you know, play, which typically is the right situation or the right choice to make, was not in that given situation. So slow yourself down, give yourself 3 seconds on every turn, and especially between games, give yourself even 30 seconds. Stand up for a second, go get a drink of water, go get a snack, text a friend, you know, do something to kind of get yourself in a better mindset each time, because even those of us maybe who are a bit further along at really feeling like we've mastered the mindset portion of this game, we all still have room to grow and room to learn. So watch yourself this week when those I can'ts come up. And then the second thing that I wanted to talk about is a bit sneakier, but it's a really common issue. It's probably something you may not even recognize until it's too late. And that's the I just need to keep going mindset. And that came up in me the other day. This is why I went on the 7-loss streak, is because I thought, well, I must just not be playing the right thing, or I must just be whatever, you know. And I just need to keep going. I need to figure it out. And there's probably a fine balance to this, because the truth is that if you just stop playing every day, because the truth is that if you just always stop whenever you face any opposition or something like that, you're never going to get to where you want to be in this game. But the way I started thinking about it was a marathon runner, because they tell themselves, I just need to keep going. And it's very accurate, right? I know I ran a 5K for my work last week, and that was a lot of fun. I didn't personally find the 5K distance that long, and I am not somebody who you would typically consider to be in shape necessarily. But my wife ran a 10K the next day, and I mean, she just smoked it. And then I have friends who have run half marathons, full marathons. I mean, the further that you go, I know what I've heard is that one of the toughest mindsets for runners to get past is to just keep going, because what you have to master is not just being able to run a marathon and not feel anything. You need to be able, when your body starts revolting, to keep it going in motion and keep it going to the finish line. And so a good marathon runner keeps telling themselves, I just need to keep going. Stop thinking about the pain, and so there are similarities for that for us in the Hearthstone ladder or in competition and stuff like that, because we have to push through whatever circumstances or bad feelings are in our way as well. We need to be willing to put them aside, not just give them, you know, a seat at the table and continue to commiserate or anything else. But you know, the time that I just need to keep going gets a marathon runner in trouble is when their shoes are untied, or when their shoes are on backwards, or maybe when they left their shoes at home. I don't know why these were all shoe concepts, but I hope you're smelling what I'm stepping in, because there's another shoe on there. The truth is that if your shoes are untied and a runner tells themselves, I just need to keep going, you know what's going to happen? They're going to fall flat on their face. Or if they're on their way to the marathon in the morning and realize they left their running shoes, probably not going to use tennis shoes, their running shoes at home, they're not going to tell themselves, well, I'll just go and run in my socks instead. No, that's putting yourself in an awful situation. You need to turn around, and even if you're late, if they'll still let you compete, go do that or see if they'll get, you know, whatever that might be. I just need to keep going is true if every single aspect of your game is perfect. And I've got news for you. It never is. It never is. We always have areas that we could do better at. And even people like Amnesiac, who won DreamHack, would say that there are mistakes that he made throughout the day, or that he didn't have the perfect mindset in certain matches or certain games or something like that. So even for the winner, that might be the case. But for people who don't quite get there, there are probably several things that they think back on and think, man, I wish I had done this differently, or I had done that. I know I thought that of my DreamHack Denver run. So really the question is, because, I mean, it's easy for the runner, you know, okay, well, you know, I woke up with a cold, or I haven't run in the past month. I guess I shouldn't, you know, run this marathon. Or maybe, you know, I didn't bring my headband. How essential is that to my running? Different answers for different people. But for us players of this game, Hearthstone, what does that look like for us to be able to analyze what could be contributing to a less than perfect attitude to make us need to take a break or to stop? Well, one of the things is kind of what I talked about before, that defeating attitude. So saying I can't, or I just don't, or, you know, anything like that. That's really going to hinder you. So if you're starting to say those things, I just need to keep going, probably isn't going to get you the results that you want to get. What's going to happen is your win rate is going to keep on deteriorating, and you're going to feel even worse and worse as a result of that. So even taking just a 10-minute break, or, you know, just stop playing for the night, it's okay, and it's good, and it's beneficial for you. The other thing I started thinking about were distractions. So maybe you need to play when you can concentrate better. I don't know about you guys. I like to play a lot of Hearthstone while I'm watching Netflix with my wife, or every now and then I'll play it in the background while, like, my daughter's eating a snack or something like that. So these distractions can sometimes work to my advantage. I feel like when I'm sitting and, you know, have the music in my headphones and just, you know, I'm thinking about nothing except for this game, that's probably when I'm at my absolute best. But there are a lot of times where I'm not overthinking it, and I can just get by, basically. But the truth is that distractionless, you're probably going to be a better player most of the time. So whether that's, you know, you've got a project at work that's looming, or maybe you've got homework that you that is still due tomorrow and you haven't done it yet, and it keeps, you know, coming to your mind. Even if you've, like, got a friend that you haven't checked in on that you've been thinking about for a while, those kind of mental blocks can really get in your way and be not so obvious distractions to your gameplay. And the answer might be, you know, I'm just going to call this friend I've been thinking about. I'm just going to do this homework. For your homework, that's probably the truth. For a work project that you might have, you may not be able to actually do anything about it. But even taking 30, 60 seconds to even just think and meditate about what you can and can't control in that situation will help kind of relieve the hold that it feels like that anxiety or stress has on you. And I certainly don't want to paint a picture that that's going to work every time. Especially when we start talking about things like anxiety and stress, there are medical conditions for those that there's no level of me talking you through that can help. And if that's the truth, you need to get the help that you need for those things. But all of us deal with it to some degree, and many times just thinking through, what am I thinking, why am I thinking it, and what's actually true, what's clouding my perception of what's really for real here. This next point of things that could be contributing to a less than perfect attitude, I wish I had this anagram that I had been told at one point. I couldn't find it, so I just came up with the things on my mind. It's all about emotions. If you're angry, if you're sad, if you're tired, if you're hungry, if you're angry, those things are going to affect and cloud your judgment. They will. And if you don't do something about them, they could contribute to your win rate deteriorating and deteriorating. So do something about them. If you need to grieve something, grieve it. Don't try and just put it off by playing Hearthstone. Talk to somebody, reach out. If you're angry about a situation that you just have no control over, go for a walk. Physical exercise helps so much when you're in those situations. And so doing that can be helpful. Talking it out also can be helpful. But really, like, learning to somehow distance yourself from the things that you can't control, you're spinning your wheels on things that you're not meant to spin your wheels on, you know? And we all do this. I'm one of the chief sinners in that arena. But it's just something that we have to continue to really push and motivate ourselves in, that I'm not going to let things I can't control determine who I am or what I see as potential for me. Addressing those issues right up front and just doing something about them as you start noticing them, that whole 3-second thing, is going to save yourself from a lot of heartache that you might experience after a 7, 14, 28 lost streak. So notice those things. And then just kind of an overarching thing I was thinking about, just do what it takes to set yourself up to win. You cannot win all the time in this game. And I have to remind myself about this constantly. Like, the best top tier Hearthstone players, if you aggregate all of the games across their entire career, competitive, ladder, casual, whatever, they are probably going to be at like a 52% win rate or something like that. So don't get down on yourself if you have a bad day. Don't get down on yourself if you cannot figure the meta out. Don't get down on yourself if you're playing a deck that you won with yesterday and can't seem to win with today. These things happen, and it's okay. It's a game. And you know, if you're still listening, if this is valuable stuff for you, then I know from experience how much you value your ability to play this game, because I do the same, right? I do like to compete in this game. I like to win at this game. But if you're losing your mindset, more truth to who you are because of this game, then it's really not worth it. And I know we've talked about kind of taking breaks and stuff. Nate Wolf and I talked about that a couple weeks ago. But I just really want to encourage you. These mindset things are so essential. And if you find yourself saying, I just can't, ... or I just need to keep going and, you know, whatever gets in my way, I don't care. Like, these things can hold you back if you don't slow down and think through it. The hard thing about these two is that there's no silver bullet for how to cure these things or how to have a perfect mindset. If that were the truth, then everybody would be a professional Hearthstone player, and that's not true. There are many people who would like to be professional Hearthstone players who just can't quite get there. But all of us have ways that we can influence ourselves better, choose better mindsets, and be better set up for a better future, better reality, better gameplay as we do these things. So I hope that was helpful for you. This was kind of an off-the-cuff idea that I had been thinking about, and I'll probably go even a bit more in depth with this with our patrons this week. But I'd love to hear from you guys too. What do you do when it comes to your mindset? What are the false things that you've totally believed, or you've just, or haven't noticed? Maybe there's something that pops up this week that you say, whoa, I didn't know that was there. Would you tweet at me at Andrew's Living or email me thehappyhearthstone@gmail.com and let me know? I would really love to hear from you guys and share some of those things maybe in the next episode. But for now, let's go ahead and jump into our community section. My goodness, I have to say, the feedback I got from you guys from last week about just in reference to the negative iTunes review that we got, thank you so much if you reached out. Whether it was a personal tweet or I got some Discord messages or even two more people jumped on and left iTunes reviews, every single one of those matters monumentally for me. I mean, I know I've said it before that these iTunes reviews help other people find the show, and that's data-driven and stuff like that. But in addition to that, it really helps to put fuel in the tank or change in the tip jar for me to keep going, to know that this is something that's so valuable for you guys. So I want to read these real quickly. BR in Milwaukee left a 5-star review titled, "My Favorite Hearthstone Podcast." I could not ask for more than that. He says, I really enjoy Andrew's work. He mixes philosophy and Hearthstone to create a Zen-like podcast, which never fails to put me in a good mood. I love his positive outlook. His joy of living and love of Hearthstone are infectious. Keep up the great work. Thank you so much. Those words mean so much. And I'm glad that you like the mixture there with philosophy and Hearthstone and stuff. If you like those, you really should be listening to Top Deck Kings also. Cream Puff does an incredible job. It even goes more in-depth. He did a whole episode, I believe, about meditation in Hearthstone that's phenomenal. So if that is not in your wheelhouse yet, BR, you're going to love that podcast as well. But I appreciate it. I definitely have noticed that there's kind of been some crossover in what he and I talk about. And so I'm really glad that you like that. And the second review here is from Evagroff, 5 stars, and the title is Fantastic Salt-Free Show. I definitely try to make it as salt-free as possible. He says, I absolutely love this show. Not only great info about the meta, card reveals, and just general Hearthstone news, it is all done without salt. Refreshing, and as the show's title says, a happy place. It has to be a happy place. If it's not a happy place, it's not a happy Hearthstone, right? So Evergroff, BR Milwaukee, thank you so much. If you have not left an iTunes review, it bears repeating. Please go and do it. Takes just a couple minutes, and it is a huge help. In fact, I tell you what, I might just have a card to sing into the episode this week that might be a little bit of my gift to you that you might leave a review for. So don't leave a review specifically about the song, but maybe you'll mention the songs if you like them. I don't know. Okay, all right, let's just jump into it. Antique Eelbot is a curious thing. Make my opponent weep, but it makes me sing. So much healing, but take the energy away. Now it's just sitting. What a pointless little thing. Bump, bump, don't need an attack. Bump, bump, don't need a battle cry. Bump, bump, don't need no job for him than to guard this tree. Bump, bump, strong within a fire. Bump, bump, cruel with double health. And I might just give you a win condition. That's the unpowered steam bot. Bump, 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 bump. Love that song. Did I trick you at the beginning? Did you see what I did there? Because the card of the week is the Unpowered Steam Bot. It's a 4-mana neutral mech, 0 attack, 9 health, and he has taunt. And it's as simple as that. I like to think that he is the unpowered version of the Antique Eelbot. That's probably untrue, but I don't know. Just go with me. It's a song. Okay, it's for fun. But the Unpowered Steam Bot is a really cool card that has risen to fame very recently. So Affy is a Hearthstone player who hit... Actually, I think he was either the first or second. I saw Sifka was also the first. So, but he was one of the first, certainly, to hit Legend. And he did it with a Combo Priest. And we haven't seen Combo Priest really since the Witchwood hit the scene. Or at least I don't feel like I've seen much of it. So I was really interested by it. Combo Priest is a tough deck to play. It is iconic because of the Divine Spirit and Inner Fire combos that can happen with a otherwise unmenacing minion. And the Unpowered Steam Bot is exactly that. So his deck list does have 2 of these in it. And because it's 0 attack, 9 health, and taunt, it's like, okay, I guess this is a heal for 9. Because your opponent will have to move through it in order to deal with your life total there. But otherwise, it's like, what is he even doing? He might even get silence so they don't have to deal with that. If he gets silence, though, it's great for you because a 0-9 body on board is really what you want. You Divine Spirit this guy 1 time and then Inner Fire, 18-18. If you can do it twice, that's a 36-36. So the Unpowered Steam Bot can be absolutely deadly, but only in the right condition. And when you're playing that Combo Priest, it's really tough to know when to play those game-winning spells because typically you don't want to do it unless you can one-shot them. So that turn, can you kill them with what you have on the board? If you can, then of course go for it. If you can't, your opponent might hex what you have on the board. They might silence what you have. And obviously, a silenced 36-36 would not be good for you. So... because your Divine Spirits have been used. I think Unpowered Steambot is a cool card. I'm glad he's getting a little bit of love. And it's really good in this deck. I'll be sure to link the deck in the show notes over at thehappyhearthstone.com if you haven't been able to check it out yet. And I did play with this deck list in my UHL match with Illyri, and I actually have two golden versions that I've pulled from packs of this, and it's a really pretty golden card. Actually, the whole concept for this artwork and this card remind me of the Bastion short, if you've seen that for the Overwatch lore world or, you know, something like that. He just looks a lot like that. I'm sure you'll get it. And as I was thinking about him too, it's actually a pretty good analogy too of sometimes if you have the wrong mindset, you're no better off playing Hearthstone than this unpowered Steam bot would be. So do what you need to do to get the power in you so that you can do some damage, okay? As I close up the show, of course, gonna tell you guys just like every time that you are the happy Hearthstone because hey, you are. It's true. Whatever you think about that, it doesn't change the fact that you are. So I'm so thankful again for those of you who reached out and just let me know that you do enjoy the format of the show, the way I do the things that I do and what people are bringing on as community guests. But we always have an open chair here. So if you would like to be on the show, please, please, please. I bet there's one or two of you listening to this right now who you've been like, you kind of been on the edge, not so sure. Look, push yourself and do it. Just let me know. It's as simple as that. And we can start talking about how to have a great show together. Just email me at thehappyhearthstone@gmail.com and we'll get it all set up. The Patreon, again, is a great way to support the show if you want to do it that way and get some great perks as well. And I have to give a huge shout out, as I always do, to Jordan L., Red Knight, and Risen. You three are the producers of the Happy Hearthstone. You produce this show. You help to make it what it is. It is more than it ever could be without the three of you specifically being in those. So thank you three especially for all your encouragement and being the wind beneath my wings as we continue to sail together into the great beyond of the Happy Hearthstone and what it is. As always, I would love to hear what you think of this show, of the concepts behind the show, anything like that, especially if the mindset stuff really helps you. Let me know, and I'm always happy to talk more about those or other things that you'd like to see discussed on the show. The Happy Hearthstone Google Plus community is always there and always jamming, so be sure to check it out. And you can find the link to it in the show notes at thehappyhearthstone.com, along with everything else, Twitch, YouTube, Twitter, email, the Blizzard group. There's a ton of stuff there. And also, as usual, I'll let you guys know that I also have a blog called scaryfaith.com. This past month was actually the first month that I did not get a new post on there, which was a real bummer. But I was talking with my wife today about how to kind of set up some workflows for me in that arena. So I'll probably have some stuff up there in the next week or two. Oh, also, I don't know how I've gotten the whole episode. I guess this is a special bonus for those of you who listen to every moment of the entire episode that I did send out that free download that I was mentioning to people who have signed up for the Happy Hearthstone mailing list. And I want to let you know first before any other place that you can find out what this download is. It is the ultimate list of streamers to help you get better at Hearthstone. I mentioned it in this episode. I mentioned it in a lot of other episodes that it's one of the top ways I recommend that you can get better at the game. And it doesn't cost you anything other than your time, which is invaluable. But a lot of times you don't really know where to go. You kind of find who everyone else is watching and kind of hope that it works. So I wanted to create a PDF of the streamers that I watch, the ones that I really love and why. And so it's a full-blown list of general streamers who will help you just in mindset and talking through their plays. There's arena specialists. There are people who are really good at deck building on there. I went through and tried to find as many specialists for different classes as I could. So almost all of them are on there. I think I hit 7 of the 9 classes. So if you're looking for specifically, man, I need somebody who is just really good at Warlock, I got a suggestion for you. Or someone who's really good at Rogue, I got several suggestions for you on there. And also wanted to include a list of my friends that you should be following on there too. So if that sounds like something interesting to you, and again, it's completely free, you actually can get your hands on it. You just, again, need to sign up for the mailing list and it'll send you a free copy immediately in your email. So if you go to thehappyhearthstone.com and scroll down the lower right-hand corner of the screen, you'll see a little mailing list sign up. Just put your name and your email and it'll shoot you over that download immediately. I'd love love to hear what you guys think. I actually spent quite a bit of time putting it together, but I think it's something really valuable for the community, and I hope that it helps you get better, find people who are better, maybe follow some good people too while you're at it who are out there doing a great job on Twitch. So that's all I got for all of you this week. I hope you do have an amazing week. I hope you're able to battle the mindset shifts that all of us do that kind of keep us from giving our best in this game. And even more than that, I hope you're winning at life or pushing yourself to continue to do that. Know that whether we have talked or not, I really mean it when I say I believe in you and you can do better things than you could even imagine for yourself. So thank you for visiting the Happy Hearthstone and having a little fun with us. I'll see you next time.